The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers both handed him over and sentenced him to death to be crucified. But we were hoping that he would be one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from the group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those went on to the tomb and found things just as the woman had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things in order to enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was at the table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Were not hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been risen, and he appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good all the time. So here we are on the third Sunday of Easter. He is risen. We believe. So let's start off by discussing this road trip that some of Jesus' followers were making right after his resurrection. Who were these men and why they were walking to Emmaus? Well, Luke names one of them as Clopas, which was also known as Cleopas, which was also known as Alphaeus. All these three names refer to one person who happens to be Mary's brother-in-law or the brother of Joseph. As with many of the early writings, the women in the story aren't always mentioned. But history tells us that Clopas and his wife Mary, one of the many Marys that traveled with Jesus, stood at the foot of the cross and lived in Emmaus, which Scripture tells us was 7 miles to the west of Jerusalem. Probably it was their son Simon who was the other man in the story, although he was not specifically mentioned. They went to Jerusalem for Sabbat, the Passover, as many devout Jews did at that time. And after a week of religious activity and witnessing the arrest and torture and crucifixion of their rabbi, they were now returning home after a week of joy mixed with sorrow and mourning. They were returning to home to go back to work. Further, chances are when they were in Jerusalem, at least for a week, they were there before the Passover. They witnessed Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem and may even participated in the laying of palm branches at the feet of the donkey that carried Jesus. And further, chances are they had stayed with fellow family members in the vicinity that they were there staying. So, of course, they were discussing all the events that they had experienced while they were there. Suddenly, a stranger accompanies them on the walk and begins to discuss the very matters that they were discussing and starts quoting Old Testament scripture references relating to the Messiah and how the Redeemer must suffer and die to fulfill the prophecy. And lo and behold, when the stranger was invited to dinner, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. A great story, only found in Luke. Who told him this story? Well, tradition tells us that it was probably Simon, the son of Clopas, who conferred with Luke while Luke was writing his version of the story. But why do you think Jesus hid his identity from them on the walk? Well, we can only guess, but some believe it was a kind of discernment period that Jesus felt his followers needed. When we don't understand something, we gather information and let it settle into our hearts. Having their rabbi taken from them was such a horrible way to give them reason and pause and question their commitment to Jesus. So Jesus disguised himself to further discuss his rising from the dead with the friends and apparently with his family. Also, they were returning home towards the setting sun, which was symbolic of sorrow and hopelessness. They were on the road of broken dreams. But Jesus rebuked them. "How foolish are you, slow to believe? Did not the Messiah have to suffer all these things to enter into his glory?" And in the end, they recognized Jesus for who he was, and they rejoiced and discussed how their hearts burned as they discussed the events with the stranger. And poof, Jesus disappears. So, as far as we can relate the scripture, how do we relate to this scripture? Well, aren't we all on this path to Emmaus? Each one of us has a story. Each one of us has stones and pebbles and boulders that we have to deal with on our path to life. Each one of us needs companionship and friendship and love to get through it all. Each one of us has moments of hopelessness and despair. Each one of us needs to have someone or something to help us, comfort us, guide us in our life full of tribulations. We recognize that Jesus is the source of our comfort. Receiving Jesus in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist brings us comfort and joy. Isn't that why we are here? But really, how many of us truly have a relationship with Jesus? How many of us are just pew potatoes? We're here, we attend, we pray and obey, Isn't that enough? What more do you want from me, Lord Jesus? As we continue our chosen paths, our journey through life, our spiritual paths, we are confronted with the work of the devil, darkness, brokenness. The devil is constantly tempting us with pleasures of the flesh, material things, material gain, and things of this world. And didn't Jesus warn us of that? Seeking material things rather than spiritual things, and we would be doomed. Our calling is to know Jesus as a friend, a companion, and a counselor. This is not an easy task, but it's doable. We need to speak light to darkness. We need to recognize the evils of the world and reject them and be one with the Lord. You know, it seems that we, as Americans, have lost the fear of the Lord and replaced it with the fear of man. Our next step is to recognize our failings and to turn to the Lord for his comfort and relief. Use sacramental gifts that Jesus has given us to strive to be one in spirit and become better human beings. Utilize the sacrament of reconciliation as a stepping stone towards relationship with the risen Lord. And recognize how this relationship shapes our lives and our decision making. Just like those travelers who recognize the risen Lord in the breaking of the bread, so too must we recognize Jesus in traveling along our path with us as well as our guide and our companion. Remember also, it is Jesus that walks with us, but it's the Holy Spirit that is within us. So as we contemplate how this reading can affect our lives, recognize also the effect you have on others around you, your family, your friends, your business associates, and all you interact with. It will be the Jesus in you that sees the Jesus in others, and it will be the Jesus in others that sees the Jesus in you. God is good. All the time.